Horoscope Brasa.
That's our intro.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bioscope Brasa. This is the show where two Brasa talk movie news, review shorts, and some cock in between. My name is Ross.
And I'm Jen.
This week we have a white woman, and she's talking to us about Barbie.
Woo. Thanks, best intro ever.
A white woman.
Yay!
Wow.
Our first one.
We've broken through.
Jeez, guys, thanks for that intro.
No, 100%. No, but she's the older man, Lil Cuckamoon. She works at the place. I won't put you on blast because you never know.
No.
The internet is a dangerous place.
And our tentacles reach so far into that internet.
Yeah, but she does have special. She's got a special. She has special insight into this industry.
Yes.
Because you were also an actress and you studied drama and shit.
Mm.
That's fucked up. It has been a long time. It's been like 3 weeks or 2 weeks or something. Because
probably the longest gap.
Traumatic event. But
very traumatic.
But let's get into the news.
Yeah. Can you hear it?
Our wear, news and shorts.
Jody. We shouldn't actually be doing the show because the writers and the actors in Hollywood are on strike.
And we support it.
Yeah, we do support it. Mm. But I suppose we still have to do the show.
Yeah. I mean, we recorded. We had an episode that we could have dropped and we made a decision not to do it.
Because it was a movie from one of the streamers.
Yes. So it's like really
one of the problems. But I mean, this
really,
is also
really
a studio film and so on. But yeah. Strike vibes, bro. Mm. Unions. Big. What happened?
Yeah.
Let's get into it.
Yeah, we're not doing any other news today.
No.
We are going to talk about the strike. We're going to hopefully give an explainer that makes sense to people.
Because
I don't think a lot of people know exactly what's clapping.
I don't think a lot of people in South Africa care as much.
No.
But they will start caring when they're like, where's my content?
Because
then they'll start caring. So, Yilda, if you could break down the entire strike from beginning to end.
Sure.
1, 2, 3, go.
Shall I get into the technical launch?
No, I'm kidding. That's Jody's job. But yeah, so the strike started with the writers in
May.
May I get a witness?
Yeah, so we have the Writers Guild of America, WGA, and then Screen Actors Guild.
Yes, and it's them versus the AMPTP.
Yes.
Which is the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers.
When you start with Alliance.
Yeah.
When you start your thing with Alliance.
Yeah. Right? Or end it.
Or end it.
Like Democratic Alliance. Political. Shots fired.
Fuckers cut my water last week.
Yes. They cut your water.
Don't want to go into it, Ross.
That's a whole other episode.
Oh, right. Wow. Well, that
has spoken.
The AMPTP, they represent basically the studios and the TV production and all that. So that's one association. They don't have to fight a number of associations. It's WGA SAG versus the AMPTP. AMPP,
AMP. Yeah.
Say it again.
I am a PP. Okay. So. Three main reasons why they started going on strike. It's while the writers went on strike first.
There's a lot of overlap between the two. So the stuff that we're touching on is actually the things that are the major touch points for both unions, for the writers and the actors.
Wait, do we have a union in this country?
Yeah, we do.
Mm. What's it called?
I have no freaking idea.
Wow. Thanks for your insight. Into
on that note.
Looks like a dud to me.
Is that not the only reason that we got that?
Yeah, that is kind of.
Did you pay her already?
I did not pay her at all.
Totally paid me.
Although she has.
Pay me and bagel.
She has had a bagel, so.
You paid her.
I'll send you the slip. Thank you.
Okay, guys, it's very difficult. It's called the SA Guild of Actors.
Yeah.
Ah. It's now in its 10th year.
Only 10 years? Yep. I suppose.
That's recent. That's like what
I mean. Like our entertainment industry is obviously not as big as Hollywood, so it would make sense that they only started 10 years ago.
But that means it was completely unregulated.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
And check this. This is the first question that comes up after that. How much do South African actors get paid? Between 7,000 rand and 35,000 rand per month in 2023.
Gee whiz.
Hectic, eh? Yeah. Absolutely shocking.
You have to do it for love of the craft, I guess, eh?
Yeah.
Wow. And how do you feel about 7 Day Line being cancelled?
About what?
Seven Delon being cancelled.
Oh man, totally like broken up. Yeah. Because now how am I going to explain my name to people?
Yeah, damn, Hilda, like from Hilda. Seven Delon. Yeah. Now you just Hilda.
Kriev Melkdad. Well, I have to go back to my German roots.
That's a highly underrated combination. Kriev Melkdad.
I don't even know if it's Kriev Melkdad.
I would hope it's not.
No, I'm sure they sell that at Opie Coffee, right?
Yeah, must be.
Yeah.
Doesn't she make them or something?
Yeah, definitely.
Or and used to make them?
It's like a one-stop shop. You can buy coffee at
Crab
Opie Coffee.
Crab Milk Tart
at Opie Coffee. Milk and then get a dress at Eclectic E. And then go to Brainwaves for your creative
B-R-U-I-N. Because it's brown people.
Actually, weirdly,
it wasn't brown people, actually. But anyway, it was white owned.
Oh my goodness.
God, what a missed opportunity.
SAG-AFTRA.
Yeah, let's get there. Okay, first issue that they have, Jody.
First one is basic pay increases. People are probably wondering what is a basic pay increase or what are the basics for actors and writers. The basics are literally the basics. It's the most administrative part of this entire thing. The annual increases that they want on basic things like healthcare, like their pensions, and basic wage.
Because if they don't earn enough, they lose their healthcare.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
So do they have like a baseline?
Yeah, there's a baseline. And a lot of, since the introduction of streaming and now with them not being paid as much and whatever, a lot of them have fallen below the baseline and lost their healthcare.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine.
I laugh, but
America!
There's going to be a lot of that.
Yeah!
There's going to be a lot of that. You know, if they just don't earn enough, then they lose.
Yeah, fuck them. Yeah, anyway.
One of the other big things is AI. How AI is used and what it's going to be used for and the loss of your likeness and AI covers.
Black Mirror season.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't watch episode. The latest season, but...
watch it. Yeah.
If they had their way, it wouldn't be consensual.
Yeah. I mean...
They just scan your face and be like, use you in the background.
The one example that I heard this week was a guy he was an extra on set, right?
Yeah.
And they told him, okay, just go into the room. You need to go and shoot. We just need to capture you
for like additional stuff.
Well, he's a, what's it then?
Background actor,
that's the one. So he goes into this room, there's hundreds of cameras capturing every angle of him. And they're like, this is just in case we have to do any reshoots and whatnot.
Sure.
But also, you signed away your likeness for any future project that you ever, we want to use you on.
That's hectic.
Like any background work, anything we want to do with you, you've signed that away to us. And this is the basic agreement that's been in place for many years now, like decades, is that your likeness and stuff is just signed away once you are captured.
Yeah, that's why I don't like this James Dean revival and those type of movies, bringing people back from the dead. Even Christopher Reeve, but they're honoring them. Are they though?
Yeah. I'm sure the family is getting money in some way.
No, sure, but like it's weird.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, Hilda.
It is creepy.
Oh, but sorry, with this guy that when he was taken to that room, he was also told, if you don't let us do this, you're not getting your pay for today. So all the work that he'd already done, if you don't do this last part, you're not getting paid for it, you can just leave.
Oh, surely you should have a right.
So he would have, in any case, not then gotten any money. He's like $180 or whatever it is for the daily rate, right? If he did not do this last part and sign off on.
And so in theory,
have my likeness.
Had he not done that and something had gotten wrong, the studio would have to reshoot certain parts of it and he would get paid again, right?
In theory, to come in and do the work.
Yeah.
Whereas once we've captured you,
you know, we can
fix it in post.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the revenue sharing for streaming shows is the third one. So they're not getting as much money as they used to because in the past, they would get residual checks because America. They would send physical checks to you.
Because they'd have no means of paying each other through banking
so
systems.
Stupid. Anyway. So they would
That's why Elon is a fucking billionaire.
Yeah. But it wasn't even his... Anyway, let's not get into Elon Musk.
Oita.
How do you say it?
Oita.
Anyway.
Wheat.
So
you're going to have to edit all of that out. You know that.
No, it's because it's with the X. It's called X now.
Yeah,
he changed Twitter to X. And he wanted to call it the tweet.
Yeah. But he's also... He didn't do any of the like preparatory work.
No, I see the logos that he changed. Anyway, So people view it on TV. I mean, once the box office and all that stuff is cleared, it'll get shown on TV. It'll get VOD or hired or whatever. Mm. And they would get residual checks. Every time they appear, they would get checks. And it used to be enough for them to sustain themselves. Yeah. So people who were on these like popular shows, even if they were on for a short stint, they would still get some money from them.
And that's why syndication was always such a big thing. Because once you reach that point, you are basically...
Yeah, you got some income, you know, coming. But now with streaming services, I don't know what happened in the initial negotiations.
No, it's similar to when home entertainment became a thing previously. So in the 80s when they last struck, there was a similar issue where they didn't know what VHS would do to the industry. And they also didn't understand what cable would do. So when the actors and the writers were striking, they were saying that it's new tech. How are we going to make money? And the studios were like, oh, well,
imagine calling VHS tech.
Yo. Do not shit on our memories like that. So back then, and this is also playing a big role with why the actors and the writers are so, as the studios say, militant about this particular strike.
Yeah.
But they were told only 2% of households have got access to this, so it's not going to be a big thing. Don't worry about it. Initially, the actors had wanted something like 8% or 10% of the share of profits, and they were negotiated down to 6%. So that was like the terms from back then, right?
Yeah.
Then the studios make billions and billions of dollars from this new way of being able to share film and series and whatnot.
And then they get checks for like $0.2 or something.
Yeah, I mean, people have been putting videos
there up. There was one that I saw that was actually a negative.
You owe us.
It was a bad movie.
It was.
Your royalties are you owe us.
She showed the fucking check. It was like negative or something. I can't believe it. Like, I mean, the streaming services are getting away with. And listen, this is what they proposed. The WGA proposed that the studios pay, right? Now just think of what these companies are worth and what they make. Disney would have to pay $75 million. Netflix, $68 million. Warner Brothers, $47 million. Paramount Global, $45 million. NBC Universal, $34 million, Amazon, $32 million, Sony, $25 million, and Apple, $17 million.
So if Ryan Reynolds did one movie with each of those studios, that's the losses from one of each of his films. They could just write off.
It's insane. I mean, in the grander scheme of things, this is nothing.
No, it's not a lot of money.
It's right? Not a lot of money. They make billions.
So the bad faith part that I get irritated by is that the studios, the AMPTP.
AMPTP.
Yeah, so they came out and did this thing about we offered them over $1 billion in compensation and they turned it down. But when you look at the terms of that also, it's like broad strokes bullshit where people are just going to, again, they're cutting them off now so that long term they make bucket loads of money.
Yeah, they will never act in the best interest of the actors and writers.
I don't know if you know with streaming what happened with like how series and things are being sold now. Because remember on TV we had syndication.
Yeah. Right?
So it's you get your checks for each time you're on TV. What they did with streaming was they package things and sell it to you as a once-off.
Yes. Mm.
So you get money once as an actor.
Yeah.
And then nothing afterwards.
No matter how many people view it. If it's the most popular fucking show or movie on that platform.
You get nothing.
Nothing.
You get absolutely nothing.
It's crazy, bro.
And the executives are making like, they do a deal for $100 million for Friends on Netflix.
Yeah.
The executives are getting like $95 million.
First. Yeah, easy. I mean, so like everybody also wanted to start their own platform. That Sony's the only one that didn't do that.
Yeah.
Sony still sells their content to other platforms as opposed to, all of them have fucking platforms.
Yeah, everyone has got, but you know what HBO's doing now as well?
What,
Max? Max is negotiating with Netflix. They're going to sign a huge deal where most of their shows and movies go to Netflix.
Yeah, because it's not sustainable.
It's not sustainable.
There's a limited amount of subscribers you can get. We said this from the fucking beginning.
I don't know if you know, Yilda, but I am certain that there's a financial
pyramid scheme.
It's a fucking pyramid scheme because you have to recruit more people for it to go.
It's Bitcoin all over again.
Logically, like they tell me that Red Notice is the most popular movie ever on Netflix, right?
Have you seen that movie?
200 million.
Red Notice.
No.
The Rock and Ryan Reynolds and Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot.
No, really?
It's not great.
Really?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Piece of shit movie. Okay. But they like, it's a billion hours of streaming for Red Notice.
Okay.
if you stream it for a billion hours, that doesn't mean you're making money.
Not at all.
Like, logically,
yeah.
I pay a subscription once off and then I watch whatever I want.
Yeah.
So where's the money?
Sure. Mm. Where's it going to?
Where is it going to?
They're selling the data.
I thought it would be Jodie being the one performing, but it's you.
Vaporizer. In that one movie.
Oh, Vaporizer. You just spray it on there.
Oh, and Jack Black. And what's his name?
And the girl from
Vaporized.
Yeah.
Vaporized. Where did it go? So, yeah, I mean, this is a situation. We support the writers and the actors. I think that it's going to take longer than we think.
Yeah, the last one took 90 days. Yeah, 100 days for the last one, right? So that's 3 months. And
3 months.
Let's again just touch on the absolute horrendousness of the executives, because an unnamed executive came out and said, well,
we'll just wait it out until they can't afford to not work. Yeah.
We're just going to wait them out.
Mm. I hope you got a little like little bit of a backlog of movies in your kitty, because what's
going to happen? Look, it's fine. I mean, we've got a lot of stuff. We can go retro. We don't give a shit.
VHS.
Yeah, but we go retro. The thing is, like, the general discourse around it and the actions of the executives. I think it was outside NBC, Universal. And they were picketing, obviously. And there was a row of trees that provided shade because it's hot in Los Angeles.
Did they cut the trees, though?
They cut all the executives, the studio, cut all the branches and stuff off the trees so it didn't provide shade anymore.
But they said,
it was maintenance. Yeah, they don't. But you must see how it was cut, man.
So like they strategically shifted their maintenance.
So now the city fined them for each tree because it was not approved by the city. And now they're still trying to maintain. No, we didn't do it because of the strikers.
I hope they donate the fines to the
No, guild. They won't. They won't.
Can I just, from the studio's viewpoint, So they were bragging about their... They were bragging about their $1 billion offer, which included the highest percentage increase in minimums in 35 years. A 76% increase in high-budget SVOD foreign residuals, substantial increases in pension and health contribution caps, a groundbreaking AI proposal which protects performers' likeness, digital likeness, including a requirement for performers' consent for the creation and use of digital replicas or for digital alterations of a performance.
Nice.
Yeah, there's other stuff there, but this is like some of the major stuff. Now, that last one sounds like they are potentially coming to the party, but they are still going to do what they did to that actor that we spoke about earlier, which is, if you don't sign this, you're not getting paid.
Yeah.
And once you sign it, you can't argue anymore because you signed it now. So
sure. It's like, do you accept all the cookies on this page? Yes. Otherwise you can't view it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, there's a lot of famous actors that are now on the picket line, and there's a lot of people that are like, oh, why should I be, you know, care about these millionaires and stuff? But it's not the millionaires we're talking about. Look, SAG-AFTRA has over 160,000 members.
And 95% voted in favor of the strike.
No, but I mean, there aren't 160,000 stars in Hollywood.
No. It's like every man.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And the WGA has over 10,000 members. That's the same situation. So there are movies in production because all production has halted.
Mm.
Actors, as they have to, because they belong to the union, they have to stop promoting their films. Mm. They cannot work. Same goes for the writers, but they have granted approval to 39 independent productions because they don't belong to AMPPT.
AMPPT.
They don't belong to AMPPT. A24 is one of them.
Yeah, they're the biggest name studio. Yeah. They've actually agreed to all the terms that SAG and the WGA have brought to the party.
Wow.
Yeah, so they have. They do.
Everything Everywhere.
Exactly. That was the best movie of last year. So, but it's not studios that are giving a blanket thing. So every project must be evaluated and then they think. So only 39 are going forward at this point.
I did want to say on the actors thing, there's some like back and forth on whether big name actors should actually be on the picket lines with everyone. Because
Is it hurting them?
The optics of like rich people striking is not great for SAG. Mm. Because it's like, well, why do you need more money? That's the thing. It's like, they are. I don't know if you saw Colin Farrell's like speech that's been going around.
Yeah, he was like, "Hey, fuck you,
fuck you, and I got some potatoes.
Yeah, I got potato. You know, fucking
fuck you with a potato.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling."
Wow.
Classic Colin Farrell.
He was in character as Paddy the whole time.
Okay, other than the singing, what did he actually say?
Yeah, what did he say?
No, he was basically talking about the reality of you want to wait us out. You want to make people suffer. They're not asking for things that are... It's not stuff that is like impossible to come to the table on. And he's there to support is the main thing.
Mm.
And that to me is the most important part, is that we see these big actors come to the party to support.
Yeah.
Because Meryl Streep, Jennifer Lawrence, a few other like really big names, their names were attached to the initial, like these people have signed and said that we are going to strike if it comes to the point of striking.
Yeah.
But now they're saying a lot of people are not being seen at these protests, actually. So what's really going on?
I'm sure on the flip side, I mean, you can argue that it doesn't really affect them because they're already so famous and earning so much money. But on the other hand, them not working has a much bigger impact on their livelihood. So, yeah. I mean, they're putting themselves behind.
Yeah. Because a lot of them own various properties around the world. But that's a lot to maintain.
But Ross, it's not just their livelihoods, because the entire industry has come to a halt. You're talking about thousands of jobs.
Yeah.
So it's like the crew on any film set, which is hundreds of people at any given time.
Yeah.
They can't do anything because no one is shooting, save for those few exceptions right now.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen, honestly, because I think the greed is too strong with these companies.
Yeah, and the reality is they can wait it out. As soon as people come back...
I think Disney can wait it out, because they have other revenue streams coming in. They got parks, they got recreation.
Mm. Amy Poehler.
I think Amazon and Apple can wait out. Those studios that have other revenue streams can wait it out. But like Paramount, Warner Brothers,
Universal,
where it's exclusively entertainment, I don't think they can wait it out.
But that's what you're saying now is also kind of connected to what the studios are using as a defense, which is you are striking at the worst possible time, because our favorite, David Zaslav, is cutting billions off of Discovery, Discovery Warner's debt. And this protest is now coming at the time where studios are universally making cost cuts.
Mm.
So that is now a big defense for them. It's like, well, we don't have money because...
The Disney CEO, Bob Iger, is kind of doing the same. Like, he's getting rid of everything that has been seen as a loss. Like,
Bryan Cranston was talking about a movie that he wrote and directed and starred in that was only releasing on Disney.
Mm.
And then they just said, "Now we're not going to go with it anymore." You could only access it in
they
that one place.
They do it for tax purposes. They canceled Batwoman as well. Warner Brothers was doing a Batwoman film, and these guys went, "Wow!" And it was filming. Brendan Fraser was the villain. Yeah, it was basically done. And they're like, "Yeah, we're not releasing it."
Wait, how tax purposes?
Jody,
it's a write-off, because, like, once you actually go through with everything, then you've got to. Then it's like full production cost. It's the release cost. It's paying actors. It's all of those things contingent on release.
Yeah. Oh, when you don't release, it's like... No, so then what happened? You don't get paid for what you did.
You don't. Well, actors would have been paid like daily.
Which
loops back to this conversation.
So you get a daily fee.
You get daily fees for work that you do. And that's all part of the negotiations.
But this is the over and above.
Yeah. So it's a writer for the studio. Yeah. They just can't, like, they're like, "Oh, it wasn't good." And they have to pitch it like that.
The
they
test viewings were not great.
The studio will never say, "Oh, this is a text write-off thing." They will say, "Yeah, the viewings wasn't great. The movie wasn't what we expected," and all this stuff. It's all this bullshit for that purpose. But yeah, look, we'll fucking keep an eye on it, because obviously it affects our podcast.
Yes.
And we'll give updates as it comes. But we support the strike, and we hope they get what they deserve. Both of them. The studios and the actors and writers.
Yes.
Burn it to the ground.
I knew there was something that you wanted to say.
Burn it to the ground.
Is that your normal amount of talking shit?
It's time for a review.
This week. No, I'm joking.
I stay away for 3 weeks and I lose my job.
You got one thing. Save it all, but one. Yeah.
This week we are reviewing Barbie, directed by Greta Gerwig. Barbie and Ken are having the time of their lives in the colorful and seemingly perfect world of Barbie Land. Mm-hmm. However, when they get the chance to go to the real world, they soon discover the joys and perils of living amongst humans. This movie has got a cast of Barbies and Kens, Ross.
Mm.
I don't know if you know this.
I do know some stuff.
So we've got, as Barbie, Margot Robbie, Issa Rae, Alexandra Shipp, Emma Mackey, Kate McKinnon, Hari Neff, Sharon Rooney, Anna Cruz, Kane, Ritu Ayu, Dua Lipa, and Nicola Coughlin.
Wow.
We've got some Kens, which includes Ryan Gosling, Simu Liu, Nkuti Gatwa, who's the new Doctor Who.
Doctor Who?
John Cena. King and Kingsley Benadier. Then we've got Midge.
Midge.
Oh, and then we've also got what's his face? Michael Cera as
Alan.
And then America Ferreira, Will Ferrell, and what's America Ferreira's daughter's name?
Sasha.
Yeah, but the actress who plays Sasha is
Ariana Hugblot.
You are actually close.
Yeah, close.
Yeah, you are close.
Greenblatt. Damn it! It was the Blatt, not the Hug.
You got it.
Damn it! That's a big ass cost. What did this movie cost?
Cost to make? I don't know how much this movie cost to make. That's normally your forte, right?
Yeah, it is, but I just looked at what they made. Oh, 145.
Yeah, what they made is a lot.
That's a good budget.
Yeah, it's a good budget.
140. No, but then the actors did these things as favors.
Yes, because didn't you say the marketing budget was like three times?
Yeah, it seemed like it was three times.
I know, and we do have to touch on the
that
marketing.
They did anyway. Okay, story
wise, yeah, I think we all went into this film not knowing what to expect. Story wise,
it was pretty scary.
Yeah. Scary for you?
Yeah, I mean, sitting there like pre-movie, like. Is this going to be terrible? Is it going to ruin my visions of Barbie forever? I was really stressed about it.
Wow. Yeah.
That's an understandable vested interest.
Is it though?
Yes.
No, it is.
It is.
I feel the same way when there's a Batman film.
Exactly.
Yeah. I get it. Yo, so that must have been like hit. And like when the movie started, like how did you feel? Because I know it starts with narration. And they like kind of set the scene. So you were like.
And a tribute that I think went over some people's heads if you're not like a movie buff.
Yes.
Well,
I mean, I think it was stylized enough that you could
watch
it and be like, this has a specific reference somehow.
Yes.
Yeah.
It looks specific.
Yes.
Yeah. That was a first original costume that she appeared in.
Oh.
The original Barbie was in a striped swimsuit. And she was called Barbie Teenage Fashion Model.
Nice.
I know it sounds Asian, eh? Mm. Like something that the Asian would.
A description.
Much beauty.
Much beauty, young lady.
Yeah, when they don't translate the t-shirts properly. Yeah. Bobby teenage fashion model. Yeah. So anyway,
going Borat with this now.
I know. I apologize. Story wise, like, what did you think, Hilda?
I really had no.
No spoilers.
No spoilers. I really had no idea of where they would go with it. I mean, you had seen previews. Mm. It gave you some inkling of it. Mm. But honestly, I didn't want to have too many expectations because I was scared of being disappointed. I just went in there kind of thinking, this is going to be pretty crappy and commercial. And
you were surprised.
I was pleasantly surprised.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So we find that Barbie Land is a place that exists. It's not in the real world, but it does exist. And all these Barbies live there and whatever we get to. That was funny.
That was so much fun.
Like experiencing Barbie Land was like.
Like being a kid again.
I know.
I mean, did you play with Barbies?
Yes.
Did you?
Of course.
With the random plastic stuff.
You can't do sex scenes without Barbies.
Oh, is that how you do the facts of life?
That's how you practice.
Doctor. No, it wasn't like that. I just needed He-Man to save someone. So then.
Size the fruit.
Yeah, he's a short king.
Short king.
He's a short king.
With a mushroom cut.
Like that. Yeah.
No, but really it was. I mean, I didn't have a Barbie house, right?
Yeah.
So.
Those were expensive.
Yeah, that was like elitist vibes, you know? So I built them out of like little bedside tables. Nice. I stacked them and never had like a slide into the pool, that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
So exploring that world was really incredible and like a very nice journey into this world that they've created.
Wow, you didn't have a Barbie house. That sucks, man.
No.
But now you live vicariously through Barbie land.
Yes.
The first Barbie cost $3.
Wow.
Yeah. In the 50s. What?
Yeah. Did Barbie come out? 1959.
What would that equate to in today's terms?
That's a lot of money.
Carry the two.
Math? Quick math.
No matter. I mean, was it an expensive doll? Was it a cheap doll?
Well, people.
There was a cheap. Everything was cheap.
No, people would earn like just over $1,000 a year.
1969. Some,
okay, so it wasn't cheap.
A doll should cost like 60 cents.
Should it cost?
Yeah, it should cost. Should cost like 60 cents.
Reduction in salary.
No. Yeah, that's a good question. $3 sounds like a lot.
It was a lot back then. It really was.
Okay.
Yeah, they sold 350,000 Barbies in the first year.
And so when they released it, was it an immediate success?
Yeah, it was. Okay. They released it at a toy fair, and then a black and white striped bathing suit. Well, Barbie teenage fashion model.
Mm. Yes.
And then the girls went nuts for it. 350,000 is a lot to sell in 1959. Mm-hmm. And then the company itself was worth over $100 million, mostly due to Barbie.
Wow.
And that was in the 70s.
The company being Mattel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Barbie was the first doll that was released that wasn't solely for taking care of a
baby. Yeah.
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 All the other dolls were...
Yeah, baby things.
Mm. Which is alluded to in the intro. That plays out in the intro as well.
Yeah.
Which was pretty, like, when you watched it sort of play out in that very basic sense, it's quite like...
Oh, is that what it was like?
Yeah, because traditionally that's what you do with, like, when you're a kid and you're playing with dolls, it is.
Yeah, you're practicing for future parents.
Yeah.
Wow. Indoctrination.
Totally.
We'll get into the fucking patriarchy, but okay.
Yeah, sure.
The cool thing about Barbie Land, right, is that practical, it was fully constructed. Wow.
Yes. Oh.
Tell him to go do something else. Look at the patriarchy just called finding you, eh?
Not demanding.
My life. God. Motherhood.
And Abby just jumps.
Yeah.
Yes. Such a midge.
Speaking of your daughter, she needs the toilet, so she's going to come in. But, loosey-goosey, that's how we play it, yeah?
I asked her this morning what is her favorite thing about Barbie? Because I really wanted to know, like, why is she so obsessed with it?
Yeah.
And she said to me that she really likes it because there's a unicorn Barbie, and then there's an India Barbie, and then she went on, and I thought, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Diversity.
It's.
But why are girls like obsessed with unicorns?
I don't know.
Unicorns are dope animals, though.
My niece as well.
Super powerful.
Do you think unicorns are the Barbies of the...
I don't know.
Of the
2020s.
Of the fantasy world? Yes.
But bringing it back to
bringing
the set.
It back.
Barbie is 23% larger than everything in Barbie Land. So they did that to mimic the awkward, disproportionate scale that real Barbie with her accessories. That's why she's bigger in a car, a house, and all that jazz.
Oh, okay. That's really cool.
Margot Robbie, she requested the slide.
Yes, I read that. Yeah. Pretty cool.
That should be in my contract.
Yeah.
I want to dictate where the slide goes.
Yeah. The slide.
What's up, Mark? Hey, Stella.
Hello, Stella Jane.
Oh, watch out for the cord there. Give a jump and a skip. Where are your shoes?
It's not that cold outside.
Well, it's down, yes. Yeah. You come from Antarctica.
The deep north.
So then, first you get the lay of the land. You get the relationships between all the Barbies. Everybody's successful. Everyone plays their role. They're so happy. President Barbie's presidenting. You see where the Kens fit in. They are just accessories at this point, which is fine. Mm. But every Barbie has like a thing and she's accomplished and whatever. And it's quite cool because... What do they call her? The stereotypical Barbie.
Yes. Mm.
She's like popular for some reason. Like everybody agrees. Like, do you
she's
know
like
I mean?
Central focus.
She's
basically.
Always involved. And I only thought about that like afterwards. Like every other Barbie has a thing.
Yeah.
And she's involved, but what is her thing? Which is kind of, you know, I don't know, spoilers or whatever.
No spoilers. Yeah.
Which is cool. And then she has an existential crisis for some reason.
Yeah. Do you guys ever think about death?
Best moment ever.
They don't like dancing and they just like stuff. What did you just say? it's fucking crazy. And then she can't walk on a...
Isn't that a spoiler?
It's in the trailer.
Okay, so anything that's in the trailer, can speak about that.
Yeah, in the trailer, you can speak. So that's in the trailer. As a feet guy, Jody, what do you think of Margot Robbie's feet?
Renowned for my love of feet. Still trying to get Abby's OnlyFans on the ground.
It's crazy though how much have you seen what people have been saying about
yes
you?
Yeah
I mean I don't insane. Quite get it
it's
but
really
yeah
disgusting
yeah.
Quentin Tarantino gets it
he gets it he's got a feet thing
So this is truly like a fetish feet thing
for Quentin Tarantino Kill Bill wiggle your big toe
oh no yeah. I can't remember that
Margot Robbie in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood feet
they always have, he always has feet in scenes and stuff he's got a thing but as long as he's not groping them I guess
it's sure okay. Let's go with that
No, I mean, he's not acting on it or anything. He doesn't make the actresses feel uncomfortable from what I can tell. That's why they allow him to do it, because he's like...
Gratuitously.
Yeah, the...
Objectifying.
Kill Bill is the worst one, I think, because she does that where she's paralyzed and she can't walk properly and then she's like forcing herself to...
to move her toes.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, but that leads me to like one of the most favorite moments of the movie.
What is that?
The choice.
Huh?
The choice
is
between,
the Matrix?
Between foot gear.
Oh. Yes.
Hey, how good was she that moment?
We got there. Bringing it back to Barbie. Yeah, it's like you can wear the heel on the buck. And I was like, choose the buck.
Burkies are calling out.
Burkies are
I was
so
just like,
comfortable.
Thank goodness it wasn't a croc.
No,
Barbie's
no.
clearly not a bear fan.
No.
Clearly.
No, she's not a chef either. So Barbie has an existential crisis. She's like, what the fuck? And whatever. And we kind of go down this rabbit hole in terms of, I don't know what spoilers. And
but I think that's the cool part for me is that the trailer gives none of that away. That there's this,
yeah, because I'm thinking now what I saw in
the trailer doesn't explain why Barbie goes from Barbie land to real world.
No, it doesn't.
None of that.
Yeah.
And I think that's where my worry came in is how do they make that story?
I don't remember seeing America Ferrera in the trailer.
No, not at all.
But I follow her, so I saw her doing a lot of promotion, and I'm like, she's not in any of the
marketing
content that's coming out, which was very weird.
So I think it was quite cool because you only saw the fun part of Barbie land, right? The dancing.
Well, they had to market it like that. Right,
so I feel you can like draw people in
because of
in.
What the film is. It's a nice old switcheroo that they had to market it that way.
Yeah, and it's so much more. Like,
yeah. We'll get into
like
that.
We'll go into details, but it is so much more than that.
So, but there's a thing. Barbie discovers things. She finds out things. She goes on this thing.
Things happen.
I don't want to because none of that is in the trailer. So let's talk about performances.
Yes.
Margot Robbie, the perfect stereotypical Barbie casting.
I mean, this was one thing that was tossed by Simi, actually, he asked us a question on Instagram, but he said...
Who else would you have seen in that role?
Exactly.
I mean, good question.
Amy Schumer was the original casting for Barbie when the film...
Well, this film is actually...
Under different guys.
This was announced in... Originally, Barbie was announced in 2009. Mm. Then it went under multiple different iterations. It went to three different studios.
Yeah.
Originally, it was Universal. And then after 5 years, it went to Sony. And then there was writers involved. Mm. Diablo Cody wrote. And then Amy Schumer was in negotiations. But she had creative differences with the script and stuff. I am happy we didn't get Amy Schumer. She's not my favorite comedian.
Mm.
And she steals jokes also.
Yeah. Also, just as an actor, there's not many movies of hers that I like.
No, it's because it's all like, a vagina and farting and sex and things. Yeah, it's just a lot of that.
Did give John Cena his breakout. And LeBron James. So.
LeBron James.
Okay, so happy with Margot Robbie.
Okay. And then, this new iteration was announced once it went to Warner Brothers.
Mm. And there'd be no then that sort of... Greta Gerwig was going to direct it?
No, not at that time. Okay. Yeah, not at that time. So it was in development, whatever. Margot Robbie was tied, I think, before Greta Gerwig. But to get Greta Gerwig in itself is something special for this type of film. Yeah. She's been like an indie darling for so long.
Yeah.
Frances Ha.
Lady Bird, Little Women.
Well, that's a directing credits, right? Lady Bird.
Yeah, you're talking about acting.
Yeah. So it's like, she's really good at telling female stories. Mm. And I think it it was just a perfect fit.
And so things that really made her decide on this, like, on project. Yeah.
I think that
it's the angle.
Yeah. I think that
she was involved in a lot of development when she signed on. So they were kind of developing things as they went along. And it was a thing of like, can we get Mattel to buy in?
Yes.
So they had to literally show Mattel what they were doing. And at some points, one studio executive flew out to set to be like, what is this? What are you doing? And then her and Margot Robbie had to act out the scene in order to get it approved.
Wow.
And yeah, it was
that
like that.
That is a little bit scary, but okay.
But the Mattel, in the end, bought into all of it. And in throughout the movie, no spoilers, but they get poked fun at quite a lot.
Yeah, it says here that Margot Robbie approached Greta Gerwig as a screenwriter.
And there we go.
Because she thought she'd be great story-wise for this.
She would be Greta Gerwig.
And she would be Greta Gerwig for it. And then Greta accepted the role on condition that her partner Noah could also, Noah Baumbach.
Noah Baumbach.
Could also...
but he's less important.
Yeah, me. Could also write on the screen.
Yeah.
Interestingly, they compared it to Jurassic Park, or Margot Robbie compared it to Jurassic Park in terms of how she pictured the movie when she spoke to Greta about it.
Like, in what way?
The first, the original.
Scary?
I kind of get it.
Okay. How?
Yeah. How? Yeah. What is the correlation?
Just think if you don't get it.
Like this different world that you're creating?
Well, that. Like, okay. Just think of how dinosaurs were presented in Jurassic Park as this thing that suddenly became believable and real. And then Barbie, the way that we are shown that.
Okay.
It's like you buy into Barbie land immediately. And in Jurassic Park, the conceit of dinosaurs existing, you buy into that. And just everything flows from it.
Okay. Sure. Yes, I'll give her that.
Me and Robbie.
You're just like aligned.
What the fuck is happening? Anyway, so Margot Robbie, perfect Barbie.
Yeah. Cool.
Ken, Ryan Gosling.
Yo, that was surprising, hey?
So Sumi asked us the question. Do you want to pull it up?
Yeah, got it. Yeah.
It's like one of the most questions.
So he says, could there be a better Ken? I don't think so. Name them if so. Can't be Vin Diesel.
Who's Mark's favorite again? The Rock.
No. God, The Rock. I'm glad he was nowhere near this. I think Hemsworth could do it.
Hemsworth, with his himbo stuff, could definitely have done it.
Yes, the best one. The only one that we want.
Is he the best currently?
He is the best.
Finals. Still up there.
No, the best Hemsworth.
Chris. Oh, what we're doing, Chris's.
No.
Brothers.
It's not a competition in the Hemsworth family.
It is. It
like
is.
Three of them. Four of them.
Yeah. There's four, yeah. Mm. No, there's a sister also.
Yeah. There's the Westworld Hemsworth. Yeah. There's Liam.
No one talks about Liam.
Yeah.
He's taking over The Witcher. It's going to tank. Anyway, so I think Chris Hemsworth could do it because he can sing as well, apparently.
Yeah. And I mean, if you look at Ghostbusters, just his comedic timing is really good. So he would have been a good option for Ken, I think.
I think as well.
But.
No, he can slim down. He slimmed down.
Ryan Gosling was ripped AF.
Yeah, but he was slim thick.
Yeah. THICC.
He was slim thick, yeah. And Hemsworth is Thor thick.
He's Thor thick. Well, yeah, he goes to the gym a lot, man.
Yeah, he gets Thor from all the ectothorax.
The only thing that bothered me about him is that Ken, in my mind, has like quite a jaw.
Wow, that's racist.
How is that racist?
No, I know because nobody.
She thinks she's slick. Ken has quite a jaw.
No, but look at Ryan Gosling is not your stereotype. I mean, if you look at his face,
he's got like a wolf face, and I kind of see Ken as having like quite a. He does.
Yeah, with his furry nose and his sharp canines.
No. Panting.
That Chuck Norris could play Ken. Is that what you're saying?
That's a bold choice.
Yeah, he's a bold choice. Also, fuck that guy. He's a Republican. Anyway.
Okay, but other blonde actors that we think could stereotype.
I only think Hemsworth. That's the only one I think currently.
For me, Ryan Gosling was the most perfect.
So he took the role once. There was a picture. His daughter has like a Ken. Yeah,
that was a pretty cool story.
And there was a picture of.
He found a Ken. Yeah.
In the mud, face down, with a dirty lemon, and he took a picture of it and posted it, and also sent it to Greta Gerwig. And he said, "I will be your Ken. His story needs to be told."
Yeah, that's deep, man.
Yeah, it's deep, and I think he fully commits.
Yeah,
the goofiness, the sincerity, the ridiculousness of it all.
Yeah, the vulnerability, right?
Fully invested in that character.
Yeah,
because of that. I think no one else could play Ken. On paper, Hemsworth could do it.
Yes, but once you
but
see...
But would he be willing to go there?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
If you watch the other guys, or the nice guys, sorry, with Ryan Gosling, like that comedic sensibility of him doesn't always come through in his other roles.
Yeah.
Because he's always cast as like serious or action.
He's
or whatever.
So funny.
But his comedic timing is so good.
It's
and
so
that's the
good.
Part that sells me for yeah. this role, like on him.
And so I read something else which was interesting, which was that he said that he apparently spent time in the Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah. He's been a child star. A lot of people don't realize.
I never realized that about him.
There's tons of videos from the 90s where he's like dancing.
I'd love to actually see that. And so he says like he had to deal with his time in his life and he really had to bring that part of him back and kind of find joy in
he
it.
He said he had to reconnect with that child.
Yes, and which I thought was quite interesting.
And sort of bring that out. And you could see it.
Yeah.
It really works for him.
Yeah, definitely.
He stole the show in his scene. He was a scene stealer in this one, I think.
There were some other people who were also scene stealers, right?
Yeah.
Also Ken's or Barbie's for you?
I mean, Alan for me was just, man, I love that guy.
There's only one Alan.
There's only one Alan.
I went back to work because we had a Barbie dress up at work.
Yeah.
And I was like, someone has to dress up like Alan. And no one knew who Alan was. And I was like, guys.
That's so sad.
I
wouldn't have known who Alan was if I didn't see him.
No, sure, me either.
I remember we saw them film early.
Yeah.
So it was...
But that was a strong performance, I think. It was a really beautiful character. Mm.
Alan was great. The rest of the Barbies, I don't think they have that much screen time. But I will mention Weird Barbie.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, best ever.
Yeah, Weird Barbie gets to shine.
Yeah.
Also does. Perfectly cast.
Yeah,
couldn't.
She agreed to the role over the phone solely because her Barbie was called Weird Barbie. they called her and it's like, we want you to play.
You sold me at Weird Barbie.
We want you to be in the Barbie movie. And she's like, Yeah. And she's like, what?
It was the best.
The things that she comes up with, why is she always splitting?
Yeah. But that, so
I tried to like research that afterwards. I was like, was there a big Weird Barbie? Where can I buy her?
Yeah, she was perfectly cast.
But the idea of Weird Barbie becomes Weird Barbie when you overplay with a Barbie.
Play too hard.
Play too hard. I love that.
Yeah, play too hard. The circles, the splits, the weird hair, the cut up hair.
Are we allowed to talk about these things? Because this wasn't in the story.
No, she's in the trailer.
Okay, yeah. I didn't see her in any of the trailers, but okay,
she's
cool.
She's in the trailer, yeah. So Weird Barbie was really good.
On the Ken thing. I don't think this was spoiler related.
Hey, bringing it back
just
to Ken.
Just get the moment. So a few women that we spoke to after the movie and our favorite contributor, Jamie, also mentioned. My sister.
What did Jamie say?
That there is a feeling amongst people that Ken steals the show. That it feels at certain points like it's not a Barbie movie anymore. And that it becomes a Ken movie. Did you feel that?
I don't think it becomes a Ken movie. Mm. I think he was a scene stealer in terms of the scenes that he was in. He does get an arc.
Mm.
But I don't know, for me personally, I kind of was more invested. Like, by the end of it, I was like, this is such a beautiful Barbie story that, I was fine with Ken being Ken.
I actually wanted to ask you guys, how did you feel when you were watching it? Did you feel kind of sidelined or...
You can't ask us because we beta cuck.
We have strong beta energy.
We beta males.
But I have
beta
seen...
Beta Susan, beta cunt?
Yeah, like...
always on the outskirts.
That's why I slap, man, beta cunt.
Real edgy life.
No, so we can't... You can't really ask us. We beta cucks.
But there is...
Oh, you mean like alpha betas?
But there is this discussion, right, about men not being
sidelined. Wait, this
is
spoilers now. Like, This is spoilers. Let's finish our performances. Cool. Is there any others that stand out?
But I'm asking Hilda also, did you feel like it went into a Ken movie instead of being a Barbie movie?
I didn't feel that way.
Did you feel that way?
I was invested in Barbie.
Yeah.
Like throughout. So I didn't feel it, but I thought it's interesting that this has been brought up because
we'll get
as
it
a
to
guy, am I looking at it and not seeing that?
I mean, I think, Ken was quite objectified. I compared his his six pack to like cleavage. It was like cleavage.
Yeah.
I mean six pack
the
whole time. So, didn't feel that way.
Agreed. America Ferrera.
Yeah,
she's so
perfect.
Good. Did you watch Superstore?
Really Yes, some episodes
love,
of it. Yeah,
I love that. Superstore. I love that show. It's so good, and it gave me a little bit of Superstore vibes. Yeah,
I mean, she's got like the best monologue ever. Right?
So that monologue she actually did.
No pressure.
She filmed about 50 takes of that monologue.
Goodness. Really?
Yeah.
Yo.
Obviously, she wanted to get it right.
Yeah.
And she said by the end of it, it was just like ingrained in her DNA.
It didn't feel spliced together. So it feels like they did that in one take.
We'll
like
get into it in spoilers, actually, because that's a spoiler, I think.
Cool.
I think that we can mention how good the monologue was, but let's talk about what she actually said afterwards.
But America Ferrera's. Yeah. I don't think anyone else could have played that role.
Really, no, really enjoyed that.
She's good. Her daughter, I mean, kids in general are irritating in films.
In life?
In general, yeah. In
yeah, I mean,
world.
That attitude that she had irked me, hey?
Like she was supposed to irk you. When Bobby gets to the real world and she goes to the lunch table.
Yeah, that scene was...
What a moment. Mm.
So that spoiler. Group of girls have the same names as the original Bratstalls.
Oh,
that's deep, man.
Which was
that's a deep cut and all.
Which was a Barbie competitor.
Russ, explain to the younger members of the audience who the Bratstalls are.
So Bratz, no, Bratz was like Barbie's old fashioned. So you know, Bratz are for you younger.
I
don't know much about that world. To be fair, but yeah, that's. Someone on TikTok found that out. Anyway, yeah, any other standouts?
It's really hard to go into the story part without spoiling the spoilers. Yeah.
So Simu Liu is also serviceable.
All the Kens, all the Barbies for me, like, played their parts perfectly.
Yeah.
Alan stand out as Michael Cera was probably born for that role as well.
And the amount of representation as well was like, there was Amputee Barbie, there was...
Midge.
President Bobby, there was
Supreme Court Justice
Bobby.
Supreme Court Justice, there was a Pulitzer Prize winner, like all these amazing Barbies. But overall, I just think it was a film made with such care, and everyone was just so invested.
And what I experience is a love for film as well, because there are so many in jokes that if you love movies,
definitely
that you will.
No, but that's what when I walked out, I was like, there are literally jokes for everyone.
Yes,
yeah.
Like if you like lowbrow stuff, there's lowbrow stuff. If you like highbrow stuff, there's highbrow stuff. There's things in between. There's references. There's this. There's that. There's jokes for everyone.
If you talk about lowbrow, did you hear that Greta Gerwig tried to get fart jokes in?
Yeah.
She tried really hard.
Like,
what would a Barbie fart sound like?
No, they cut a sequence. A fart opera. There was going to be a fart opera in the middle, and they didn't
test it. I wish they put that in.
It tested poorly.
That's
maybe
a Barbie
they can
fart.
Put it in the director's cut.
And she said it tested poorly, and she was so gutted because...
It tested poorly.
She thought it was hilarious.
Oh, that, another thing that was cut was...
the scene between the...
No, don't try and predict what I'm going to fucking say, okay?
Sorry.
You never know.
You never know. I could go all sorts of ways. So Hitler... No, I'm joking.
Whoa.
You always do this.
You know he had a point.
You like to bring him into...
So the sex education... what's her name?
Yes.
The actress. Maeve. Yeah. Emma Mackey.
Yes,
Mackey. She was actually brought in as a joke at first. Because she looks so similar to Margot Robbie.
Oh, she does.
So there was going to be a bit between the two of them to be like,
I should have got what's her face.
After they did the wardrobe and everything and with her brown hair, they were like, this
so different.
Doesn't look like her at all. They should have got that actress from Ready or Not, the Samora Weaving.
No way.
But she does.
No, she doesn't. She's got a different face structure. She's a long face. Margot Robbie is a
in my heart. She looks like her.
She does.
Okay. I get heartburn a lot, Abby. I understand.
That's actually a gut issue.
I know.
There were a lot of sex education actors in this.
Oh my word.
In this movie.
Dr. Who is in there.
Nkuti Gatwa.
Yeah.
Yes.
Emma Mackey.
Yeah.
Everyone except the main guy.
Yeah, the main guy. Oh. Yeah. He could have been Alan. I could see him
in
Alan.
No, no one. No, there's only one Alan.
There's only one Alan.
Anyway,
I had one of my hardest laughs for Alan.
When Alan moves the... Anyway.
Hey, spoiler.
No, so that's the thing. Like, is there anything else you want to talk about?
The music. I think the music was your...
Exceptional.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I didn't really know how musical
this would
be.
Are you talking about score or are you talking about soundtrack?
Let's talk about soundtrack. first because I think, yeah, I think that was like a star by itself.
Yeah. So Mark Ronson?
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Yeah. Now, for me, just the musical side of it as well, unexpected, but perfect.
And someone actually absolutely said to me, asked me about the movie and then said, it's a musical, right?
No.
And I was like, no, I think there's maybe two dance numbers in there or two.
But you see, again, the marketing is deceptive. Yeah. Like it's
very.
I also thought it was a musical, but just because like who was in it, who's directing it, whatever, I was prepared to sit through the music because I fucking hate music.
That's why I was so worried.
No, I hate that. So I was prepared to do the work because of who was involved. And it turns out that I was right.
Mm-hmm. But very clever references. Yeah. Yes.
I think the music is also kind of a spoiler, you know, in some ways.
Like in what way?
The final scene with that song.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But I mean, we can get to that. It's just the music, 100%. Mm. The score was perfect. But everything was like perfectly set, like in terms of Barbieland and the real world. And
the connection between the two. I think what I will say is that you have to have this level of just buying into it. Like people who are going into this and like, I want this to make sense to me. It makes sense within the context of what they are doing. But if you want this to make sense in terms of how does Barbie exist in the real world like this?
It's that complete suspension.
But you if you buy into it, this is an amazing experience if you buy into it.
Just
that.
So this fact, there's no writing in Barbie Land. Did you
except
see any
for
signs?
Except for the Barbie Land.
And the only element
is
good wind.
Nice.
Nice.
What is that? Do you have your hair? It's probably, just like a warm, comforting breeze. Yeah.
That's why you can walk with your abs out all the time.
Anyway, so are we going to get into spoilers?
Yes,
let's do it.
Please.
But before we do that.
Oh, yeah.
What? Is it a choir?
Is it a choir or an eye for you? Choir is good.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought choir means yes, quad.
No. This is in 7th Avenue.
It was
a resounding choir for me.
Yeah.
Resounding.
Yeah. Resounding.
This was one of my favorite movies.
This resounds all around this table. It is honestly one of my favorite movies of this year as well, Jody.
Loved it.
This is a nice barometer also for like people's characters, I think.
Why? What
what
it
they take away from it?
You just asked them, like, what's your opinion on the Barbie movie?
I read an article this morning about a woman. She was writing for the New York Times and she's saying like, scarred as a child, mutilated her Barbie. And I was thinking, whoa, that is maybe indicative of some other issues.
Yeah.
But I think it's like a...
But now she writes for the Times.
She does.
So a win, I guess? Mm. She could have been a murderer.
Could have. Made a good choice.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, Dexter worked in the lab, Ross. He killed people.
Damn it. With Diddy.
Wait, spoiler.
Okay, spoiler alert. Barbie becomes human.
Everyone loves.
Yes.
No one died in this movie.
Oh, so refreshing.
We hit them with the hard stuff once.
Ooh, that is the biggest spoiler.
That's the biggest spoiler. Barbie becomes human. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about how she gets there.
Other big spoiler.
Mm.
That actress is not the real Ruth.
Yes.
For anyone who doesn't know.
Wait, what do you think?
Danny DeVito's wife is not Ruth who made Barbie.
Wait, how many people think that?
Lots of people.
Oh, wow.
That's really...
But you know, another one that I think is legit, and I don't know who gets into spreading movie fact misinformation, but the woman at the bus stop that Barbie...
Yes.
They kept saying that that is the daughter of Ruth Handler on whom Barbie was modeled after. Yeah. But it's not true. Her name is Anne Roth and she's
She's got a lisp.
Oscar winning...
Oh.
Yeah. Oscar winning costume designer.
Oh.
She's like 91 years old or something.
Okay.
So it's like... Where did that happen? Why does this happen? Like, what is wrong with you people?
I think built into the whole movie are all these like subtle connections and like my favorite part was.
But there's already so many organically. Why are you pushing
making up new ones?
This is a world of make believe.
Yeah. What's your favorite one?
What like favorite moment?
No, you were gonna say now. My favorite when I cut you off. It's like all this movie of like things, and you're saying my favorite one is. And then I cut you off like a classic man.
The the like all these references to all the Barbies that were discontinued.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoyed that so much. And then afterwards, I was watching it and I was thinking, was this a real Barbie? And then I would go look. So cool. All I love that.
Midge. Now, attention to detail was
Sugar Daddy Barbie.
Incredible. Yes, that Sugar's, was so funny.
Sugar's Daddy Barbie.
Sugar's Daddy.
Sugar.
No, no, Sugar was a dog.
So Sugar's Daddy Barbie comes with... No, Sugar's Daddy Ken.
Sugar's Daddy Ken, sorry.
Comes with Sugar, the dog. Okay.
But the most scary one for me was the Skipper Barbie.
Yes.
That has the...
You lift her arm.
And then
a breast skin.
Which they did in the movie.
Yeah. Like all those ridiculous things that they point out, those were real Barbies.
And so... Then afterwards, I thought about, like, we really have to get, like, a Omar Barbie. Because there's no Omar Barbie.
Yeah, oh, that's fine.
Mm. Why haven't they made an Omar Barbie?
Because old people smile.
Also, they forget.
Yeah.
But we're celebrating women, like, from, like, childhood to...
Yeah, until they hit menopause. Then
and
we
then
start.
It's done. Yeah. Okay, fine. Well, I think that's a gap in the market.
Yeah, when they hit menopause, the pain is over, so therefore... We don't care about that.
No more suffering.
Yeah.
Is
over. Yeah, like all that stuff stops. The hot flushes. Do your research, Jody. They are literally
it's
free.
All gravy.
They are literally free after menopause. Anyway.
Okay.
Our interesting fact. Emerald Fennell plays Barbie's friend Midge. She was first introduced in 1963 as a red-headed companion. Her appearance in this film was specifically based on the 2003 pregnant Midge and baby doll from the Happy Family line. The doll is infamous for having been controversial back when she was released, as the doll was accused of promoting teen pregnancy.
Nice.
Even though Midge was an adult version in this, and for seemingly being an unwed single mother.
How dare
even
you?
Even though Midge
How
had gotten
you?
Married. Midge had gotten married to Ken's friend Alan in 1990. That was a gift set.
Wow.
Alan was part of the Happy Family line. The box for Midge and the baby lacked a cutout of Alan in the back, making it seem like she was unmarried and pregnant. Walmart pulled the doll from shelves and Mattel replaced it with a new box that had a cutout of Alan in the corner of the box to make it more obvious that she's married. Her silver wedding band on her hand also painted to be thicker to make it more noticeable.
Woo-hoo. Attention to detail.
See, she can't do it without a...
Yeah.
So Margot Robbie also wears no rings in this film because her hands were traditionally like that.
Oh, yeah, she couldn't pick things
up. It was like glued together.
Okay, wait. Story-wise, we can reveal some spoilers.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the reason Barbie has got an existential crisis is because...
America Ferreira is having an existential crisis.
And she's playing with Barbie.
Yeah,
and she's doing realistic Barbies.
I mean, I like that old switcheroo. They're thinking it's the daughter, but it's actually the mother playing with Barbies. Yeah. And I saw a lot of interviews and they talk about this. The fact that men can have toys and games and things for as long as they want, but women are expected to stop those things when they become an adult and they grow up.
Transcend into motherhood.
Exactly. Yeah. And she was like, she's the one still playing with Barbies and women can have those feelings too of having like wanting to revisit that and get into collectibles
and
toys.
And think about the bond that she had with her daughter because that's what they did together. This film's emotion, that was one part I was not expecting.
No. Mm-mm. I wasn't prepared for like beautiful, real moments.
Mm. No. I wasn't.
And there was...
Quite a few.
There were numerous times where it hits you so hard.
Yeah.
Margot Robbie pulls off those emotional scenes.
Yeah, but she's... come on.
But
she's
America Ferreira and her daughter that actually bring that heart to the movie in terms of what are we rooting for here? Mm. Like the maternal bond there.
Which a lot of Greta Gerwig's movies are... about it's like maternal bonds and relationships with mothers and stuff.
Anyway. And I think quite contrasting, like
maybe there's some trauma there.
Maybe.
Methinks.
And I think the physical contrasting of Barbie versus the two of them, I think, was quite cool as well.
Yeah, I mean, they are women of color as well, and it's interesting to see how. Also, the way that the America Ferreira's character just buys into this Barbie land because it's like something. New. I mean, she's coming from a job for a massive corporate and whatever, and the relationship with her daughter is kind of on the fritz. So when she's like, "You're the real Barbie, oh my word," and then she's in, my bro. And yeah. she's like, "Yeah, let's fucking do this. Yeah. I want something."
But also the Mattel execs, all men, they also, they know about that world. They know it exists, yeah, right? Course. And that's where the suspension of belief for me is essential to your experience here. Yeah. Because some people are maybe going to watch it and be like, "Nyman, why?
Yeah.
Why would they, why is there a world? Why would they believe in it?"
Yeah, but some people are also shit.
Exactly. To your point of how do people feel about this? If you just buy into this, like, take it at face value that this is the world that you have.
I get it. Some people can't watch, like, sci-fi and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, there's people, if something isn't grounded enough, then they can't really...
relate to it?
Yeah.
But you enjoyed it.
Yes, but, I mean, in terms of, like, some sci-fi stuff, like...
If it gets too sci-fi, she can't. She can't, yeah.
You lean towards sci, not the fi.
Maybe.
No, definitely. It's usually like...
She's all sci.
Like that. It's exactly like that. Hey, you don't call me sire when we have guests. Only when they're gone.
Oh.
Wench. So, I was going to say, like...
The execs.
Yes. I think just the right amount of Will Ferrell.
Yes.
Any more? It would have been too much.
I was worried because it looked like he was going to...
Dominate.
Yeah, yeah.
Way too much Ferrell.
Yeah.
And then...
Go Ferrell, you.
Yeah, he was going to go Ferrell. He was going there.
But like I think just the right amount.
Yeah.
In the right spots, fine. And happy with it. And I'm a fan.
I guess also a bit of a, like, people might have thought, oh, that's the big bad. But then we have the twist, which is maybe where the whole a Ken versus Barbie movie comes in.
I found that quite troubling. Like, I couldn't decide whether he was a baddie or a goodie.
Corporations are usually portrayed as bad.
Yes.
In general.
And there's the on-the-nose jokes about, you know, we are fully representative, an all-male group of execs. Yeah. I've worked with women.
We've had so many CEOs, yes. And then one of my favorite, like, fumbling sort of like very physical humor moments was when, like, they had to go through the turnstiles.
Yo.
Right at the end.
Oh my God. Like,
whoa.
Men can't do anything.
I saw a TikTok of someone who worked at Mattel Australia, and she was saying what a wonderful company it was in terms of how fun it was, first of all, because they have, like, toy themed rooms and stuff. It's like basically a playground for adults. Uh-huh. And then they took care of their employees. So, I mean, that's one person's thing, you know. My feeling on corporations in general is terrible. But kudos to them also for allowing them to poke fun at the company and all that jazz.
Yeah, like, they really did. But I do agree, though, that it felt almost as though they poked fun, but to a point.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's then the story pivots away from Mattel completely.
Yeah.
To the point of they
just like, yay.
Yeah.
Yay. Yeah, you came for fun, but we're gonna give you some feels now.
Yeah.
And what did you feel about that box moment?
Putting her in the box.
Yeah.
It was interesting. Yeah. It was funny at first. But and then I was like, this is fucking...
And then
the flashbacks happened
and then, then she starts getting the flashbacks.
It's
and
the bondage thing, I think. It's like putting her in those straps and shit and then her getting uncomfortable. I was like, yeah, this is fucking gross, man. Yeah.
But again, Margot Robbie just goes from the whole like, oh yeah, I'm fully with what you're doing here to I'm not comfortable doing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She pulls off that range of emotions so well.
Yeah. As a feet guy, Jody, what did you think of Margot Robbie?
Stunning. Immaculate arches. Immaculate.
Arch came on point.
Which apparently was the part Margot Robbie was most surprised by.
Why?
Is all the comments on the
foot
arch
she
thing.
Thought it was going to be, I mean, as you would. It's you think you're doing something and then the internet just makes
it
gross.
Up.
Yeah.
Like they're calling her a mud now because they're haters.
They're calling her mud?
Yeah.
They're calling Margot Robbie mud.
Yes.
Mud soul. Oh.
No, mud as in...
I'm still on the foot game, yeah.
Oh.
Mud as in?
So mud means like average.
Wow, what are your standards
just,
like?
I just fucking do
like
you.
I'm a little bit along.
There's one.
Whoa.
Mostly because obviously she's part of the Barbie movie.
Yeah.
And it says some negative things towards men and men don't like that. So now she's...
Oh, shame.
Yeah, it's
shame. It's... Haters gotta hate.
I mean, there's a, we haven't even mentioned Alan Mirren and the narration, but That one part where there's this emotional scene playing out, and Helen Mirren is like, "No to the director."
Yeah, that was funny. Like,
don't use the most beautiful woman in the world to have a discussion on women's role in society.
Which is just like, amazing.
There's so many jokes that are on the nose, but they are delivered in such a way that it doesn't feel blunt or like it's hitting you over the head. It's just perfectly
it's
useful.
It's nuanced. Definitely nuanced.
I could get behind the patriarchy if it actually was about horses.
If they were horses. Just more horses.
Like, on any...
Ryan Gosling's one of his best lines ever.
So what was that about?
So so apparently he goes to the real world. Obviously, he's a man, so people look at him differently. Because in Barbie Land, Ken is just an accessory, you know? He's there to be...
He exists as Barbie and Ken.
Yeah, he wants Barbie's affection and whatever, but they, you know, they just don't
care. She's happy by herself.
100%. Yeah. In real life, though, Margot Robbie had Barbie parties.
Yes.
And Barbie sleepovers.
Mm. Barbie sleepovers.
And all the Barbies actually slept over and the Kens could just visit.
So that did play.
But they had to leave after it. Anyway, so he goes into the real world and he discovers, oh, men are in control. Men are in control. And then he sees horses.
And suddenly he's treated as important as well.
Yeah, yeah. But he sees horses in like statues and like books and like things. And he's like...
Cars.
Yeah. And you
the patriarchy is men and horses.
Yeah. And he comes out and he's... What is the line?
The line is, I lost interest in the patriarchy as soon as I found out they wanted horses. But he was just going with the thing.
Yeah, he goes back to Barbie Land and he introduces the patriarchy to Barbie Land and the roles are totally reversed after that.
And that's where we have this pivot from Mattel being the villain to Ken being the villain. And what Ken has brought to Barbie Land when Barbie was away.
That was cool in terms of how Barbie Land switches around and the Ken. He just takes over
the musical number.
What is
Mojo House? Dojo Casa House. He takes over Barbie's dream house.
Mojo Dojo Mikasa. It was house.
No, Casa.
Casa.
Casa doesn't house. Do Mikasa.
No, it doesn't. Jody, no.
I thought it was in my head.
Who's the research one,
Going off memory.
There was that. And then
I'm going off notes.
And then there was the sort of rock influence in his fur coat with his big buckle.
Oh yeah, it's the headband, the buckle.
I was like, karate cowboy rock star.
But that's like Ken, right? I mean, if you and Bobby, essentially. I mean, once you buy like outfits, you're gonna mix and match it up.
That's very true.
It's true.
Yeah.
Because I mean, do you remember what Ken's role is?
I beach. Yeah, he's beach.
Like, what do you I don't know how to beach in the real world.
Yeah, I'll beat you off right now.
But when he goes to the real
beach
world, when he goes to the real world and he tells that guy, I beach.
Yeah. No, but he goes as a lifeguard. He goes and he's like, I don't actually like save people. I just beach. Yeah. So Margot Robbie gave him a gift every day, a beach themed gift every day.
Wow.
In pink packaging.
Wow. It sounds so much like what we just heard about her getting greater, all these things that you're talking about that she's done, that she drove the spirit of this movie.
Well, Greta ultimately. As well, because Greta, according to the people that she's worked with and I've seen in interviews, she likes to create a really inclusive like environment.
A family kind of.
And everybody's like included in it and comfortable and everything like that throughout her directorial career. So in this one as well, they had this thing called like movie church where they would all like go and watch movies that kind of inspire this film.
Yeah, every Sunday or something. Yeah,
and then things like that. She wore pink on set when it was Pink Wednesdays. Mm. If you didn't wear pink, you had to pay an optional fine and that was donated to charity.
I mean, Ross, that's the perfect segue into marketing.
Amazing.
I don't think I've experienced something like this in South Africa where people have so organically just bought into... If I'm watching Barbie, I have to wear...
It's nice to see the contrast of the popular cinemas versus the not-so-popular cinemas. So in terms of like the effort, deco and the effort put in. So say for instance, Joburg, the main one, you go there and there's Barbie shut everywhere and there's things. And then you go to someone shows on TikTok and it's just like one pink balloon and they got that sound. It's giving Zimbabwe.
But Ross, at Tiger Valley, so Jen and I went to watch something else and it was when Barbie released. I have never queued at Tiger Valley to go into the cinema. The queue at Tiger Valley took us 50 minutes to clear.
Whoa.
Just to get in. And it was everyone dressed in pink. Mm. It was just this complete bind. They had one balloon arch. That was it. But everyone going to watch this movie, it's like, I know I can't do this without dressing in some type of
And
pink
I mean, I've never
clothing.
Seen that in South African cinema.
No,
anyway.
Like, I mean, it's not we like really don't give it.
We
got
really
bigger
don't
problems.
Do that.
Yeah, like,
we got bigger fucking problems.
But it's so, people have organically just bought into this and it feels like such a vibe wherever you've gone to. Like,
to see Barbie, I think that it's part of the marketing, actually.
That's brilliant.
I know that people's buying and people love Barbie and stuff, but the way they encouraged it with showing up on the red carpet all in pink or blues.
Carrying it through.
And all of them except for one. I think America Ferreira purposefully wore different stuff because she was the only real woman, I think. And then Simu Leo at some point. But I don't think they like him.
Really?
No, this is a conspiracy. On that they don't like Simu Liu because they asked the rest of the cast. Yeah. There's one awkward clip where he's holding Ryan Gosling like that at first, and then Ryan Gosling says no, it's whatever, and then it's like a weird clip. You can find it on internet, and then they ask Margot Robbie who's most like their Ken, and she says Simu probably. Mm. So people are like really reading into that. I mean, I don't pay that much attention to all of that because who knows?
What was his Ken?
Asian Ken.
Asian Ken. Yeah.
There wasn't an official Asian Ken, but there was a Japanese Ken.
Yes.
And
quite late into
he was
like
called
the
Samurai Ken.
Yeah.
I remember that. There was one. But speaking about that and the Ken and everything, I just think like, especially today's age, it's nice to see a movie like this being made. And it's not a big budget film compared to like other summer blockbusters.
I mean, people would have said a few years ago, 140 million is massive. But nowadays, like 200 for blockbuster films.
Closing on 300.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like for this, 145 million and for it to look so good.
And with the cost that they have, like you said earlier.
We performed so well. It's actually something of quality. And I want this to win some sort of Oscar somewhere.
Yeah. Honestly, the emotional stuff that Margot Robbie pulls off in this movie, which is why I never lost that
Barbie
track, like of Barbie, because all the emotional beats were through her character.
Yes.
And she pulled it off.
But I really like the fact also that I didn't see that coming in terms of her being like, I'm just stereotypical Barbie.
Mm.
Because you see her and she's like the most beautiful woman you've ever seen. And she feels inferior because she's dealing with President Barbie and Pulitzer Barbie. And it's like, there's always...
What is my purpose?
Yes. And I didn't see that coming until that time. So let's talk about the monologue.
Mm. Yes.
Okay. America Ferreira's 50-odd take monologue.
Just no pressure. Just represent every woman that's ever loved.
I think it was, first of all, let me say this. For a movie being feminist driven, I think they were very kind to men still.
Yeah.
You thought, because I was sitting there wondering, like, how are the men in the cinema feeling seeing this world portrayed in this way?
I thought they were extremely kind.
Ross, before we go on, because your favorite person's question touches on this. Morgan Scruffy Dog Production says, do you suspect that Barbie's reputation as feminist masterpiece may be overblown? And elaborate.
Do you want to... I go first? Okay. Yeah. People are going on like it's this extreme feminist movie.
Propaganda.
Yeah. Mm. And I really don't think it is. I think that for what it is, they were trying to be extremely inclusive. And they were being super kind to men. Even at times giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Mm.
Barbie's last thing before she moves off is comforting Ken.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he didn't say sorry to her.
Mm. And it's it's not just comforting Ken, but Ken gets to give that whole explanation about why he felt invalidated and why his existence is difficult in a movie that's apparently like and that gives him also rounds off his character.
Yeah. And she tells him to basically go and find his purpose.
Yeah.
She has to. She supports him.
Yes.
Loves him.
She has to take time out of her existential crisis to help him through his existential crisis. And I'm like, that's so... She doesn't have to do that.
Yeah.
But she took the time to do that. So I, in terms of it being this heavy feminist film, I will say no. But I feel like it is important to see.
Mm.
They tried to make it as accessible and as inclusive as they could. Remember, kids are going to watch this.
Yes.
And there are women that have had issue with it of not going deep enough into it. And to that I say, you're going to have kids watching it. And if they are going to be introduced to these ideas for the first time, this is a good vehicle for them.
This is a good vehicle.
So they don't necessarily have to get into the full nitty-gritty of it, but starting the dialogue is what it was for. And I think they were extremely kind to men.
Mm.
Oh, my God. Come on. There's only one, like two creepy moments when she gets to the beach and obviously the box. But it could have been so much worse.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the objectifying is alluded to as opposed to overtly shown, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. What did you think based on that question?
I mean, ultimately, if we think about the purpose of the movie, right, it's probably like a big marketing.
Well, everything's marketing.
It's a big marketing.
Because they're going to release movie Barbies.
Yeah.
They have.
The tie-in.
They already have.
Yeah, they have already. Oh, okay. They're really expensive. Yeah. I looked. There's the disco one. There's the cowboy one.
Nice.
Yeah, there's quite a few. And they obviously look like Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
But do I think that Barbie is this whole feminist movement? No, I think ultimately for me, she's a toy.
Yeah.
She's a toy who gave girls an opportunity to think about play in a different way and allowing them to imagine and have their own worlds and identities. But I mean, is she a feminist? I don't know.
I think sometimes. I think it depends on the generation and it depends on the context. Because she was accused of not being a feminist, but then
she evolved
it was,
into
it
one.
It was the first Barbie that
she evolved.
America Ferrera's daughter brings that up, right?
Yeah.
Like Barbie's role in what's the world you created for us.
Mm.
In terms of how Barbie is, what the expectation on women and so on.
Yeah.
But I think about a movie like G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
That comes out. Do we have discussions around, is this like representative of the patriarchy? It's also, it's a toy for boys, right?
Yeah.
But
a
we
boy,
don't discuss
a boy
it.
Toy, if
it's
you
a
will.
Boy toy. Mm.
And then it's...
Flesh your fleshlight.
Never used one. Could never afford one.
And the lube is expensive as well.
I just wanted you to be specific there so I could understand.
Also cleaning. How does... Anyway.
How do you so quickly go off?
Weak plug game. Says the father of two.
Barbie. Yeah.
So I...
No, Yilda was going to say something.
No, but that's my question is why is it that with this movie, in light of what you're saying, that Barbie's just a toy?
Yeah.
Why does it have to now also be this discussion on feminism and is this against men and stuff when it's a movie about this toy? And I think that is what it was to me, is a movie about Barbie. It doesn't have to justify itself within the space of feminism and
anti-men.
It does. I mean, it doesn't shy away from it. Right.
No,
I mean,
no,
they pose those questions. They tell you what's happening in terms of the real world and stuff. So.
But to me, the dialogue that's been created is this for men because it's a feminist movie? When I think you should see this because it's a good movie about Barbie.
Ah, okay.
And discusses those
I
things
didn't
within
get that
the
from
film.
Your first
no
response.
Question.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
You speak weird. So
I get there eventually.
Fuck you.
Long and winding road.
Gee whiz. But that I agree with. I think, why do we always have to see ourselves in something? You know what I mean? Why can't we just... I get it. People want to relate and whatever, but men can just enjoy it because it's a fun film.
It's a really, like, one of the best of this year.
And then,
if you're having an issue with it as a man, you should question things.
Yourself.
You should question.
Yeah.
It.
What is your issue?
Yeah, exactly. If you feel attacked, it's like, why, bro?
Why?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you... go back to it. Like, why was she created? She was created as a different way for girls maybe to interact with toys.
Mm.
And so it
she was created for Barbie teenage fashion model.
There we go. Okay. Barbie teenage fashion model. But not a baby.
Yeah.
So not mothering more aspirational. So in that sense, I mean, in the 1950s, probably not a feminist like movement or icon, yeah. but I think culturally she's maybe become that because she's allowed women to see themselves in different ways.
Yeah.
Mm. Do I think the movie is a feminist movie? Yes, it is. Do I think it's difficult for guys to watch? Maybe, depending on how you view your world, it would be difficult for you to watch. Is it good for you to watch? Yes, because I think it shows you in a lighthearted way the way that women experience the world, and that really goes back to that monologue. You know, it's quite difficult how women are polarized, and you have to be this and you have to be this. And so when you watch that, it hits you a little bit hard, and I think ultimately that's the point of art.
Yeah,
it has to teach you something. You have to grow as a person.
And it's delivered so well.
Yes.
Like the her cadence, the build up to it, and the final frustration.
The exhaustion.
And then she quiets down and says, "And if it's so difficult for you, a toy."
Yes.
I was like, God damn it.
Yeah.
Yes.
How difficult is it for you in all your perfection? Yeah.
It's so well done. Let's talk about the moment Barbie decides to become human.
Right? Yes.
After learning all of this, learning about the patriarchy, learning how difficult it is to become, and her understanding now of it's okay to just be okay, and she decides, I'm going to be human. Yes. And then we get that montage in the song. I did not see that coming. And it actually just flowed for me. And then all of a sudden I was like, I'm getting really emotional.
Yeah.
The montage, it's all from cast and crew.
And family.
She asked them to send in videos, whatever. And this montage of mothers, daughters, teenagers, whatever, just experiencing the world in different ways, happy moments, sad moments, all these things. And then this beautiful song plays in the background. It's what am I made for, right?
I can't remember the song.
So the song is What Am I Made For by Billie Eilish. Greta Gerwig showed her and her brother, because they work together, Phineas, 30 minutes of the movie. And they asked her, okay, so what do you want? What are you looking for? And she said, I want you to write whatever what you've just seen inspires you to write. But if I had to choose, I wish we had what felt like Barbie's heart song.
Oh, wow.
And then they went away for a week.
And they wrote that.
They sent her a voice note of the raw version of piano and Billie Eilish's voice.
Sure.
And they were like, so then they gave permission to Mark and the other composer to use it through. So if you watch it again, listen
to it. Through line.
Throughout the score, which builds up to the final song. It's stunning.
Russ, two of my favorite cinematic moments last year was Everything Everywhere, the rock scene. It's a similar type of thing for me with this.
Yeah.
And After Sun, the scene in the disco.
Yeah.
With where she finally gets to her dad.
Yeah.
And that scene's emotion for me is actually comparable with those two movies' level of emotional impact with that.
And you as a man.
Chunkies.
You're a beta cuck.
We still have a voice note to listen to as well. Right? A two-minute voice note.
So that scene, what were you going through during that scene?
I mean, I think it probably hit you guys harder than it hit me.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, for me, one of the most beautiful moments was the young woman with the old woman on the bench.
Mm. Greta Gerwig had to fight for that scene.
Yes.
So they didn't want that scene because they're like, it doesn't do anything for the story. But she was like, no.
Apparently she said that if they don't include that scene, she doesn't know what the movie's about.
Exactly, yeah.
So I think that was pretty cool. And then obviously the one with the older lady in the ghostly room.
She plays Ruth Handler, the creator of Barbie.
Yeah.
Which was great. I that was such a wonderful inclusion, especially if you're talking about relationships between mothers and daughters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those two scenes hit me harder than, and the America Ferrera monologue hit me harder than that last montage. But...
Well, I didn't know you were a stone cold bitch, but okay.
Do you know what it is?
I surprise you all the time.
No, but I think montages are also more made for men in general, because montages are like
an integral part.
No, man, it's an integral part of like action movies.
I need a montage. So,
men are geared towards montages.
Yeah.
No, but it's such a beautiful moment though. Yeah. Not just the montage, just the point of her like making, and then she says, "Feel," and she feels. Mm. I think it's so beautiful. Speaking on the Ruth Handler thing, so she created Barbie. It was based on a daughter. Ken was based on a son, Kenneth. Mm. And in 1978,
incest. Cool.
Oh, I haven't thought about that way, but thanks.
Yeah, the Johnny. Why you gotta do that? Huh?
Love it.
Shit. In 1978, Handler was indicted on charges of false reporting to the Securities and Exchange Commission and fraud. She pleaded no contest and was fined $57,000 and sentenced to 2,500 hours of community service. They make a joke about this in the film.
Yeah. Yes, they do.
Which I thought was quite
funny. Yeah. So, yeah.
But that's such a nice moment. Such a nice inclusion. Yeah, fuck the voice notes, man.
It's almost 12 o'clock.
Yeah, but listen, Alan moves people. He's quite, I've seen theories on TikTok where they say like Alan represents the good men that are kind of quiet.
Sidelined. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, but also like they don't speak out enough about what's happening in the patriarchy.
Yeah.
But they're good guys, so inherently are you a good guy type thing? But then he flips the script.
I was gonna say, is that also a lesson then on what happens with repressed emotions?
Yeah,
because Alan loses his shit.
For sure.
Yeah, that was so fun and unexpected.
I mean, if you think that Barbie is the main character and Ken is the sideline, then shame. Alan is like the sidekick of the sidekick.
Yeah.
The sidekick.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Musical theater person.
Yes.
I'm just Ken.
I mean,
come on.
The level of cheese.
It's so good, though.
It was very enjoyable.
It's emotional cheese, though. Mm.
It's emotional cheese.
It's like
cheese.
A brie.
Yeah.
A what?
Like a brie or
the most emotional
like
of all cheeses.
Well, okay, brie might be a bit bitter, but camembert. Yeah. Like an emotional cheese. It's emotional
soft
cheese.
Soft, gooey center.
Mm. Yeah, with some good, solid dancing and flexing in there.
What? And just what? Like. I'm just kidding. Have you listened to the song on its own?
No.
It's really good.
Yes.
It's really good. Be a 10. And then my life to the blind for that we only get the, like,
otherwise we have to pay.
Yeah. Okay, let's get to the questions.
It's not me.
Is that like the broomstick telling you to be quiet?
No, she's been working on something.
It's hammer time. I like the background noise.
It's like life.
It's, yeah.
All my life.
Oh, wow, that's some emotional cheese you got going on there.
Oh, let's talk about I want to push
you around. Yeah, I will.
That was the best cheese. Oh, my word. When they're sitting in that campfire circle and all the Kens are playing guitar.
Playing the same song.
I was like, whoa, best moment ever.
I like how that one executive gets shot also, and there's no guns in Bobby Hammer to get shot. Anyway, okay, let's get to the questions.
Okay, we've already done two. We just have a voice note, a long voice note to play.
Okay.
Hey, guys. I hate voice notes, but
so why did you do this then?
To how much I can type. But America Ferrera was fantastic. I loved her. I love her so much. I loved her speech. I love everything about this movie. The soundtrack was great. Ryan Gosling singing I'm Just Ken. That's a fantastic song. I don't think Ryan stole the show. I think everything they did had a point. So maybe Greta will become to me what Christopher Nolan is to Jodie.
Then my phone goes off at that night.
Oh, no.
I just loved this movie so much. Margot Robbie is fantastic. I love that there was a narrator. I loved when the narrator said that the Kens will have the same equality. I'm paraphrasing because I can't remember. The same equality that men have in the real world. A point that was great. I loved that. When Ken never apologized for what he did. Like, all the Barbies did was ignore Ken. Yes. That's all. They didn't hurt. Why the hell does Instagram have a limit on how long you can say no? But anyway, as I was saying, all the Barbies did was ignore Ken. They didn't kill Ken. They didn't hurt Ken. They didn't oppress Ken. They just ignored Ken as romantic partners. That's all. And then what did Ken do? He took over our house. He brainwashed our friends. And then he never apologized.
Thank you.
And then she still had to hold his hand and make him feel better and help him understand who he was. But again, that's a point that Greta was making. Because now I'm a Greta fan.
Now only.
Alan was great. He fought everyone, all those construction workers on his own. He just wanted to leave. He was great. I loved Alan. Will Ferrell was great. He's hilarious. When that guy said, "I'm a man with no power. Am I a woman?" That was funny. Sex Education. Don't know if you guys watched it. Two other cast members were on Sex Education. So someone's clearly a fan of that show.
Cool. That
I'm
was
a man with no power. No. Am I a woman? That's fine. Yeah, that was
Kerry Lee dropping bombs.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with what she said. Yeah. And it was perfect. Wow, Jody. Wow.
Sound effects. Mm. Thanks.
That's obnoxious.
That was my porn, Ross.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Damn it.
Where is the flashlight when you need it? Okay. Barbie's human. She's now like went through the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And the first, hardly ever do you end a movie on a laugh out loud moment, I think.
True.
And this one does that for me.
Shay, maybe this is also why the men are so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Mentioned the G word.
Now Barbie is in the real world and she's going, she's in a car ride with America Ferreira and a daughter and they're being so supportive and it's like, you got
what
this
girl. What
did
you think she was going to go do?
A job at Mattel.
That is exactly what they were.
She's going to take over like the Barbie section of Mattel.
An interview or
and she goes to the desk and she's like, I'm here for my thing. I'm here to see a gynecologist.
She gives a name.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's a name first, Barbie, whatever. And then I'm here to see the gynecologist.
And then the movie ends and I was laughing so much because I'm like, Barbie famously doesn't have genitals. Ken either. Mm. And here she is to have her first experience at the gynecologist. Jeez. And as a woman, I mean, we can't speak about this, Jody, because we don't have vaginas.
Yeah.
Maybe one day, but we'll see.
You know.
As a woman, what is that experience like? And how did you resonate with that specific moment?
I mean, I was so happy for her that she was so excited about that moment. No, it's really not the best.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a choice that she made, right? She chose life. And life comes with
stirrups.
And schmears.
You have to turn everything into horses, rocks. Don't you?
Strips and smears. That's the rest of your life. Gotta get that checkup. Make sure your pH balance is good.
What was she wearing in that for that last interview?
It was she had an oversized suit. It didn't fit her properly. Or jacket, I think. She had a grey jacket, a totally anti-Barbie.
I mean, do we think that they deserve some kind of costume deserves like a whole chapter of entire own podcast.
Yeah, I mean, anything that wasn't bespoke was Chanel.
Yeah.
No, literally. Really? Anything that wasn't designed was Chanel. Uh-huh. And
Birkenstock.
Yeah. So that contrast of her not being in pink, wearing grey, all that jazz in the real world.
And the Birkenstocks.
Birkenstocks for comfort.
Yeah.
Going to one of the most uncomfortable places that I think can happen. Because a lot of gynecologists are men, to be honest.
Yes, true.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a majority. Abby, can you look that up? Thanks.
Mm. Quick sticks.
So it's a new thing for her. And I laughed so hard at that.
Yeah, it was, again, so unexpected.
Yeah.
Just the joke comes from left field, but it's so perfect.
That's a nice barometer perfect. If you didn't laugh at that joke, then...
Yeah. Then you got issues.
Yeah. That's why they were uncomfortable. It's the last thing that eats them. It's like, the gynecologist.
Vulva.
It's the labia.
Labia majora.
It's the labia, Ross.
But yeah, amazing ending. Wonderful film.
71%
are male.
Mm-hmm.
Yo.
That does not seem fair, I think. What the fuck? Still, though.
That's
still
the center probably of the world.
Yeah, yeah, that is the center. Yeah. That is. Yeah, America. Fuck yeah.
Lord.
Whoa.
Okay, but mostly men were doctors. Yeah, yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
You know, Barbie shifted the barometer.
Yeah, yeah, she did. Because that's when she took off in the 70s. Barbie fixed.
How many astronauts, like, what is the astronaut ratio now? Men to female?
Okay, quickly.
Ah.
There's this comedian that tells this true story about the female astronaut that went to space, and it wasn't that long ago. And then they like supply them with things to use in space, and they gave her 500 tampons, and she was only going for like a week because they didn't know.
Just don't know how many they need.
And they asked her, "Will that be enough?"
Educate yourself, man.
11%
are women astronauts. Okay, so Barbie astronaut, you need to do some work.
Hell
70
yeah.
tampons a day.
Jesus. What kind of flow is that? God. Anyway.
How are you alive?
Look, there's definitely things we missed, but I cannot wait to watch this movie again.
Yeah.
I felt the same way. Today I was thinking, there's so many things I'd like to revisit and dig into again. I mean, I do think that this test is like, you know, the same test as if you don't like dogs, do I want to know you?
Yeah, 100%.
So I think the second test is if you go watch this movie and you don't get, like, which jokes do you get?
Yeah.
Mm. And then I can kind of grade you as a person. Yeah.
As a, like, movie watcher. Yes. Some people that you're like, oh, this is an amazing movie, watch it, you like trash.
Yes, yes.
It's one of those where it's like,
If you don't laugh at these jokes, then are you even worth it?
Yeah. No, and if you're a guy and you feel attacked, then maybe
you need to go and interrogate that.
Go do some introspection. But overall, what a fun time. I don't know if there's going to be a sequel, but according to the numbers, there might be. It made $162 million in its first weekend, which is currently the biggest domestic opening weekend for a movie released in 2023 and the biggest opening for a female director ever.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, the numbers are insane.
The numbers are insane. And in the Barbenheimer war, Barbie has clearly won.
No, Barbie has won, hands down. I think the Barbie has helped Oppenheimer so much
no,
more.
No, it was brilliant marketing on both of their parts. Same weekend.
But in terms of who's doing the heavy lifting, this is all Barbie.
Watch Barbie if you haven't yet. Go out. The cinemas will be emptier now. It'll be a better experience even. Go and watch it. I love this film.
And even if you're not a Barbie girl,
no,
a Barbie fan,
or in a Barbie world,
even if you're anti-Barbie,
yeah,
I think you would be pleasantly surprised.
100%.
Just as a movie, as an experience, you need to see it.
So much fun. I felt like maybe in that way, it felt like a Jurassic Park moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys
are like, you're in that little bubble car driving this journey.
Once again,
I get it.
A woman comforting a man.
We
got it wrong.
He's completely
got it wrong in the first place. Just making Hilda. We're supposed to be stopping this. Okay. But thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
It was a joel, actually. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. And if there's a sequel, you can come on again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks for giving me permission.
Yeah.
I will just invite myself.
Well. You can do that too, actually.
You really could. I don't know how we'd stop you. With our strong beta energy.
Beta cunt.
No, that is not what I meant.
That's what you said, though. She just called us beta cunt. That's worse than beta cunt. Thank you for the voice notes, everyone. And stay safe. I want to start a new end off, Jody.
Cool.
I want to say to everyone, be good for Knox and Charlie.
Yes, I love it. Yes.
You like it?
I love it.
Nice. Be good for Knox and Charlie, everyone. Goodbye.